again, what's happening out there? You know, Tom has said, well, if there's another crisis, we could, you know, could rise to it. But there is a crisis. There's a crisis every night for all kinds of homeless people throughout this community in Santa Cruz, and I imagine throughout the Portland community. And the question is, how can, other than simply serving as good neighbors and proceeding at a slow and deliberate pace, and maybe this is the answer, maybe this is the only answer, I don't think it is, but I could be wrong about that. How can this community, how can we proceed to launch the kinds of actions that will actually have some direct immediate impact in, let's say, stemming the death toll of homeless people, where last year we had several dozen people dying on the streets and because of homeless, and I imagine many in Portland having the same. Chris Fredrickson had a response to some of this. And you wanted to talk about it.
I get emotional about this stuff. I realize that we're talking about villages and tent cities, but it's very important as activists for us to remember the thousands of people out there on the streets who are not in tent cities and who are not in villages together. And it is our duty, it is certainly my duty as an activist, to do the best that I can as a legal advocate and as a homeless advocate to take care of the rights of those people. And Robert is right, there is an emergency. At least in Santa Cruz, there is an emergency. I believe we lost 3 people in the last week, 2 of whom I knew, and I consider those deaths to be unnecessary. I consider those deaths to be deaths of violence because they were unnecessary. And they are on the heads of the police and the city council because of the sleeping ban here. And I think that it is incumbent upon us as activists. I don't say this as a lawyer because I'm not sure that I can bring about those sorts of changes within that role. I mean, I will do my very best. Working on the Camp Paradise appeal is one way. But as we have so sadly discussed and at such short length, you know, the necessity defense and encampments don't go together very well as yet. But as an activist, I believe Santa Cruz has a real emergency on its hands, a real housing emergency, and an emergency out in the streets. And it's nice for us to, all of us, because we have worked very hard, the people in this room, we have worked very hard on Camp Paradise and on the Service Corps collectively. And we have a nice little thing going, but there are a lot of people out there tonight who are frightened and who are going to be the victims of police violence and violence of homeless people upon homeless people and violence of housed upon homeless and violence of drugs and alcohol and violence of any other sorts of things. And there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of anger and there's probably going to be death. And that is just here in Santa Cruz. And we need to do something about that, and we need to do something about that very soon. The summit, for me, was a bit of a disappointment on a local level because, as some of us talked about afterwards, it did not give us a great showing of confidence that we were ready to mount any sort of offense against the sleeping ban here locally. That makes my heart hurt because we really need to do something about it, and I'm not sure what. Encampments are nice. I wish we could go round up all our brothers and sisters out in the woods, those people with mental health problems, those people with drug and alcohol problems, those people who are too paranoid to come out, those people who choose not to, for various reasons, join with others. As Larry taught us, it was safe to do. I don't know what the answer is other than to repeal the sleeping ban or to repeal the camping ban, to make safe areas for those people who choose to stay out there, to make it somewhat safer. It's never going to be completely safe, but we almost form a second tier in a way of, oh boy, dare I say it, we almost form a second tier of in a way kind of a NIMBYism by forming our tent cities and our villages by saying, well, we've done this and And if you choose to stay out there and not join us, then there's something wrong with you. And we're the good guy homeless people, and we've done it right, so what's your problem? And I've observed this, and I kind of hate to say it, but that's kind of how we are. We've become kind of the middle class of homelessness. And we really need to consider our brothers and sisters out there who are the victims of the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz and in so many other cities. And I hope that that Portland is not going to become a target again. I hope that we can all work together on this. I've become a little less emotional now. I will hand this back to Robert.
Those are the kind of emotions. Those are the kind of emotions I'd like to hear. Did you have something you wanted to say, that end?
Yes. How much time are we
have
doing here?
We have about 50 minutes left. Well, actually,
minutes?
No, we have about, 45. We have about 35 minutes left, 40 minutes left.
We don't have that much time, do we?
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Are we? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good. Wasn't sure. Yeah, we've got some people up here that want to say things.
Go for it.
So, how about you, Watchman? You haven't heard from me tonight yet.
Well, I've been on the streets off and on for about 15 years, and but not too much in Portland. I slept on the streets for a couple weeks only. I know being on the streets, the worst thing is being wakened up every night by the police and told to move on. You can't get any sleep, but the person has to have sleep. And I'm at the point now where I want to fight City Hall with on ordinances, get them on the ballot, you know, people's initiatives. I think that'll force the City Hall to rethink their position. They can't go to trespassing ordinances all the time if we put our foot down and say pissing in the streets is illegal, sleeping on the sidewalks is illegal. If we have a positive law saying that this action is legal, then if they charge you with trespassing, they'll say, well, look, we're trespassing, we've got a legal right to sleep there.
But, Watchman, how do you get to that point? Because it's all very well to say, gee, let's sit around and talk about it. And I guess you've gotten to the point where you can talk with the city attorney because, A, you have a judge who said it's legal to sleep, sorry, and you also have an organization that has mobilized a lot of people, and you have an existing village. What about other organizations in other cities? What can homeless people do?
Well, we're organizing down here. I mean, there's a thing down here called the Crossroads Gathering, and it's coming up with Sisters of the Road. The work they did around Title 14 was just amazing. The lawyers sort of redlined the thing and broke it down. What we can do up and down the coast is we can kind of link up. And that's what we're looking at, the linkage, the hookup up and down the coast, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, starting maybe with the Twin Cities.
That's what we were trying to do at the summit, and Chris began to talk about her disappointments about the summit and what she'd hoped would come out of it, which would be a broader-based movement against the Santa Cruz sleeping ban. I had a similar hope that, you know, didn't come about. We don't have that, at least at the moment. What did come out of the summit is a plan to walk from San Diego, starting, I guess, tomorrow, is when the press conference is due to be held, if it goes ahead as scheduled, all the way up to Sacramento, and then have a protest in Sacramento in mid-July, which calls for people from all over the state, if not other states, to come and urge that a law against sleep is a hate crime, a hate particularly for people with families, homeless people with families. What came out of the summit for you folks? I mean, and I'm not looking for a puffy feel-good analysis or even, you know, a nasty critical analysis, but whatever you want to say.
Well, I'd like to say I wasn't in the discussion in the back, you know, where Chris was, and where people were dealing with the necessities of them. But I was with the group up in the front, on the front porch, the 10 cities, and we were looking at, how we were organized, the different kinds of models of organization, And we were looking at ways to connect up and link up with other 10 cities, because as I see it, we're a response to a problem, and it's a globalization thing. It's kind of worldwide, you know. And you know, we're kind of springing up like mushrooms all over, because man, we're homeless people wall to wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really bad in Toronto right now, and you know, it's really bad out here. I mean, I was shocked. I've been like out the country for like, you know, like 30 years, man. I come back, man, I find it shocking. You know what I mean? Compared to like what's happening in Europe.
In other eras, home union activists actually organized people, and whether it was the IWW at the turn of the century, or the CIO in the 30s, or, you know, unions trying to get people together. Is there any kind of that organizing going on either in Portland? I know I don't see a lot of it here in Santa Cruz, though. I guess Camp Paradise and the Santa Cruz Service Corps has offered to work with people if they can get Parks and Rec Czar Jim Lang down here to actually do something to open up a park, so there'll be a conservation project briefly. Well, what's happening in Portland? Is there a union of the homeless or anywhere else in Oregon that we've heard about?
Hey, yeah, Patty, and Mike D and I, and Jack sometimes too, we go to a lot of different organizations meetings all the time, week after week. Cough Watch is one, and the IWW is real strong here under the leadership of Bill Bradley and others. Jobs with Justice, active here, and we really coalesce. All these organizations are backing one another in our actions. We have calendars going back and forth all the time, and you see people showing up, cross-sectioning of all these organizations all the time in our protest actions, and even at City Hall, when we know that there's an issue being discussed at which the public can sign up and talk.
Mm-hmm. So you have Cop Watch, Food Not Bombs, all kinds of
Food Not
groups.
Bombs is serving all the time, a couple of times a week, downtown, mm-hmm. in a couple different locations. Them too.
Mm-hmm. Any comments from the Santa Cruz end about what came or didn't come out of this conference that anybody wants to say anything about? Larry, no?
No.
Yeah. I know that, Tom, no?
It's already been said.
Yeah. So what I heard that kind of came out of this, and I guess what I did a little talking with Patty there before this phone call, and we've done some emailing back and forth, is that a kind of a telecommunication system by email has been set up between different camps, including Isla Vista's camp, including Homes on Wheels in Santa Barbara, including Shock in Sacramento, which doesn't actually have a camp there yet, but they, you know, they're looking at, there are informal encampments along the Sacramento River. Supporters in the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco and activists with the Berkeley Union of the Homeless in Berkeley who are trying to get together some kind of a camp, kind of a revival of the Rainbow Village that they had there in the 80s. I guess that may have come out of this conference, and of course then there's this march up to Sacramento that may, seems to have come out of it, as well as this proposed protest. And it seems to me, have you learned anything that has helped you with your Title 14 organizing up there from this meeting with the folks down here?
Well, sure, because this is Patty, and I was in the other backyard workshop that weekend with in which Chris and a couple other attorneys were involved, and we passed information around about the necessity to fence and discuss it on both sides of it, and the Gallagher case and the Icorn case of California. And I think I haven't really had an opportunity to share what I brought back from that with the attorneys up here yet, but I plan to real soon. And was also, I'm writing up a couple of articles for the June issue of Street Roots on it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, personally, having attended the summit, I feel that since it was the first of its kind, it was kind of a feeling out for all of us too. But I believe most of us came away believing that we had formed a consortium and begun to form a coalition of more and more people outside our own little areas working across the borders to help each other. And for instance, there may be some people in Seattle and Portland who can help in the march and join it at some point to go to Sacramento or just meet in Sacramento And it's important to do fundraising because you're talking about a lot of low-income and no-income people trying to stick together on things that cost money to do the action.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that because I was in the front porch group, right, with Tom Shaver and Chris Omer and Michelle Marchand from the Tent City up in Seattle, Tent City 3, and what we came out of it with, I mean, apart from comparing strategies, is just the realization of the need to communicate better and to maybe link up more. We're talking about teleconferencing. You know, when are we going to get together? Teleconferencing. I think it was valuable in that we got each other's addresses and just touch base and saw the people, you know, that we've all heard so much about, you know, like Larry, Larry Templeton, you know, all these kind of people, right? Tom Shaver. I didn't see Carl Wilson, but Bernard, you know, I hear about Bernard and the Coffee Clutch 3 and all that kind of stuff, right, you know? And it's just really good to touch base and to see the people that you hear about in the traffic, in the email traffic and stuff. It's just really good to see people and then to work out some sort of strategy. What we came away with, you know, I got the language of the what happened in Santa Cruz with those three parks and just what that looked like. And I got the language of the setback that Chris Omer and Home Sweet Home and Guitar Dave and Jenny Jett and all that crew had down there. And then got to talk to Michelle and look at the strategy, what happened in Seattle. And we're using that now. We're looking at maybe getting, I don't want to go too much into it, but maybe getting a couple of dignity villages up here going pretty soon. You know, I don't want to get too much into that right now, but we're looking at a July 1 move. But we're looking at different ways to do that, what that's going to look like.
Well, let me ask Larry here, because he's a man who whose voice is really the strong and really controlling voice in Camp Paradise and has been a leadership voice there. Larry's been dissatisfied. You've been dissatisfied, Larry, with, you know, how the homeless community has responded. You've expressed some concerns about that. But as you know, and you probably remember when you were outside, you know, it's different and it's more difficult, particularly when you're on the outside looking in, even if it's looking into a group of homeless people in a tent city that you may perceive as more privileged. Is there a chance in Santa Cruz this summer of some kind of a movement to expand the sleeping ban more broadly, other than through, frankly, this incremental process of waiting for Jim Lang to okay a group of 15 people to sleep for 2 weeks in a park, maybe if they do conservation work, if they have $1 million worth of insurance. I guess it can be resolved into the Santa Cruz Service Corps and the nonprofit, and my hat's off to them for doing that. But more broadly, because this is an emergency, and because, I mean, if we look at why Isla Vista came into being as a campground, Camp Home Sweet Home in Isla Vista, California, it was because of deaths down there. The people just decided, we've had enough, we've talked to these bureaucrats for years, fuck this, if you'll forgive me for saying that, we say that here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and they decided we're just going to set up a camp, and they did, and they're still there. What are the chances, Larry, of that happening here in Santa Cruz?
Well, Camp Paradise is still wanting to help and change as much as we can. If we can get a lot more of the homeless people here to start helping, I mean, it would make it a lot easier on us. They're wanting us to create miracles that just takes a long time to do. I mean, Camp Paradise is always willing to help out, try to change the things here in Santa Cruz. We were doing it for a long time. I mean, we were the only ones going down to the city council trying to get the law changed. And there was times as I was headed to the city council, I even walked just where I could get the guys that I seen standing down there on the street, saying, hey, come on, you guys want to help change this law? Come and help us. And they wouldn't show up. You know, we're always willing to help do anything we have to change this law and make it easier on them and go as far as we have to. There was times when we had Camp Paradise, we stood in front of the cops. And we had some of the campers that didn't have too much faith in us, but they were on in the middle of the camp, and we protected them. And they kind of seen what we were about, but they still don't want to stand up and just stand beside us. Camp Paradise is always willing to stand up against the law. We're willing to talk to the city council here, as I always have. We're Americans, and I'm proud to be one. I grow a lot of the corn that feeds these boys when they were growing up. We raised a lot of the beef. And hey, now I gotta raise homeless people, and there ain't a damn thing wrong with it. You know, I love every one of them. They call us undesirable or transients. Well, I don't see any undesirables here. Some of the people in houses, the way they yell at you and cuss at you just because you're walking up the street, I think that's kind of undesirable. I love people to death, and if they can't respect us because my house don't fall down in the earthquakes here in California. Oh, we just had one the other night, and I thought it was pretty cool. I thought the old lady was getting frisky, but it wasn't, so I went back to sleep. Handed you all back to Robert North, but hey, Camp Paradise is here for all of us. I mean, we're willing to fight whatever it takes to get this law changed, and we love everybody.
Here, here. Larry is always been a, he's a great orator. I've got to say that for him. The man has a silver tongue. And indeed, and Chris here is giggling. I'm not sure why. We'll get some, and even Thomas smiling.
Am I good, Jack, or what?
Hey, you know.
Yeah, you're good.
I guess, you know, I'm always one to say, well, let's roll out on the streets and do a protest or set up a tent village somewhere. We talked about doing this in the last year at different points. And, you know, it's easier said than done. And the question of what happens next, it's always the fear that the police are going to come and remove the tents and take what little property mm-hmm. people have. And, you know, then you're suddenly stuck in a court system with all kinds of trials and so forth. And the lawyers want the next half hour, according to Chris here. I don't know about that. We got more non-lawyers than lawyers, and I think we should talk a little bit about the law. But I don't know. I'm hoping that I think it's a combination of different things that will change things. Chris obviously wants to say something, and since women have gotten 2% of the she was just kidding. Oh, okay.
I have been
what? What's the? Yes, you have. You've been very quiet, and that's very good. I get to talk more. What about this, lawyers? We've tried to, you know, do we have a legal corps that will, you know, do we have resources in Portland and in Santa Cruz to be able to? You know, we can certainly try to challenge the constitutionality of the law. That, I don't know how far that's going to go. It worked in Portland. It hasn't worked in Santa Cruz. We can use a necessity defense to defeat each case by case. And then there's your new proposal about an emergency. You know, if we can show that there's an emergency, then maybe we can do something in Portland and possibly in Santa Cruz. Maybe I will turn it over to Chris to ask, what are our legal resources? Do we have any legal, other than yourself, overworked and exhausted, and you, Adam, up there? I guess you probably got more resources up there in Portland, right?
We have quite a few resources, but you know, you could walk in downtown Portland and throw a rock and hit a lawyer, but there are few and far between who have the time or the energy or the desire to help out. But there are definitely a lot of folks at Legal Aid Services of Oregon who started this. When I was at the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco doing work down there, I heard of this. I caught wind of the Gallagher decision. It was actually the Wicks case. And folks at Legal Aid, you know, got me copies of their brief and of the city attorney's brief and of the decision. And I left before we could incorporate any of that down in San Francisco. But I think that it's more than the resources in your area. It's the resources who are, you know, it's the other people who are willing to share what they're doing. At the Coalition in San Francisco, we had a lot of contacts with folks in Southern California and different states, and we had a wealth of information. And I think you need to cultivate locally, and you need to cultivate you know, throughout the state to see what other folks are doing.
Mm-hmm. Any comment, Chris?
What seems to be the case since I've come on board working on this stuff, I was a very burned out civil litigator, and before I hit the streets, so I'm relatively new to this scene, and the story I keep getting over and over again is he or she was working on that and did a lot of work and is now burned out and doesn't want to talk about it anymore. So that seems to be the story. So it would feel really great to not feel so alone. There were a couple of attorneys that came down from the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco to the summit said they would be somewhat available to work on cases, and I do have some backup in my household, but he is also very burned out on things, and is available only for mentorship. But I'm totally open for suggestions to forming some kind of networking and some kind of help. I mean, mostly, like I said, the story I'm getting is that many people litigated these cases 10 years ago or whatever, and are burned out.
Can I address that really?
Yes, please do.
Quickly, I think that I've seen a lot of folks burn out. Well, I've seen a lot of lawyers burn out just because. And this is just a personal opinion, but I think that there a lot of folks were not connected to a movement or connected to other lawyers and were maybe trying to do things on their own. And if you beat your head into the wall enough trying to get something done and you make very few steps and you don't see the larger effects, you're going to get burnt out. So I think, I get strength from working with other folks and having connections and seeing what other lawyers are doing, but also seeing what powerful people on the streets are doing. I think lawyers also get burnt out when they try to take on the load and lead the charge. And
uh-huh.
Personally, my view of a lawyer who's working with the movement is someone who's there to help out and be a tool and kind of be there
yes.
for the folks who are getting arrested, who want to start a 501c3, or who want to go to the city council with changes in language, and you know, don't carry the whole burden. I don't think it's the lawyer's role, and I don't think that you're going to survive if you try to carry everything.
Agreed.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if that's an answer, it's just an observation.
Yeah, no, it's a very good observation, and I totally agree with you. I hope the summit did give some good ideas, and I did meet a few folks, and I'm hoping to network out from there. And I mean, there are people in Santa Cruz who have great experience in this stuff and are willing to talk by phone, and I guess I shouldn't whine, because I mean, they're willing to talk, and I know that there are people that are still working in the movement. They just don't seem to be readily available in Santa Cruz right now. They're burned out, but they're willing to talk, and they're willing to share ideas, and they're willing to mentor. So it's been great talking to you folks. So with that, before I start whining, I'll give this back to Robert.
Yeah, Mike. Robert.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mike D. But something else, if people are getting arrested and stuff and they're doing it alone, why not have a big party and get arrested together? That's a good opportunity to hang out, and there's safety in numbers, and then that's also a good time to do jail solidarity type stuff, and for everybody to drag it out in the legal system. If everybody decides to have jury trials and invite the press and all kinds of people, it makes it a big deal, and then they're not going to want to do it. I look to force activism type stuff to see how that works here in the Portland area. Is 67 people got arrested for crossing a line that the Forest Service set, and they all applied for jury trials and all the works and court-appointed attorneys, and it shut the system down in Clackamas County, and they're like, they just dismissed all the charges. They just didn't want to deal with it, and so I don't know how you figure out what the right number is in your area, but in Clackamas County, I guess 67. I don't know what it is in Multnomah County here in Portland, but
120.
Yeah, it could be more, it could be less, but just gotta try, I guess. There's safety in numbers, and I guess one more thing I want to say was, if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always got, and so it might be time to do something different if you want something new.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really really true, and I think that our keynote speaker, Terry Messman, who's himself not just the editor of Street Spirit, the one of the best papers in the country. Street Roots is pretty cool too, but I like Street Spirits over there. But hey, they're both important. He talked about how when he was with the Oakland Union of the Homeless, he used a sledgehammer to bust open the doors of abandoned and decrepit housing that they homeless people then occupied and demanded that the city bring up to code, or that homeless people themselves be allowed to bring up to code. Indeed, it was homeless people from Camp Paradise and the Santa Cruz Service Corps who rehabilitated a building and an office that they've been able to use for the last 5 months as an opportunity point for folks to get work and to find connections with the community. And he pointed out that it required people taking the initiative to cross the line, not just to stay in the encampments, but to come out of the encampments and use them as staging grounds for social change. At least that's how he saw it. Now, he lives in a house. I live in a house. We don't have to worry about, going back to, find our stuff missing.
I live in a house.
And even Larry claims to have lived in a house, but I don't know if that's true, so, you never can tell about him. I guess it may be. But, the question is, can we, you have to risk, I guess, to get further. And it's often said that those who are outside maybe can risk more because they've got less to lose. Although if you get a little, it may seem even more important to keep what you've got. And I don't know. To me, it seems to me the most obvious thing is to set up a tent city and say there is no tent, there is no place for people to go this summer in Santa Cruz. We're going to go here, and then just keep coming back again and again. But of course, when does that happen? It happens at a key point. Let's say it happened in Isla Vista when enough people died, and some folks just said, "We're going to set up a tent. Come and get us if you have to." And I'm always willing to be supportive there. It's just the question of when that key line is crossed. And I like to see, I see coalitions with, students up on the campus. I mean, I see there's a war going on that a lot of people don't like, but that very few people are doing anything directly about. I mean, that's something hasn't come up in this conversation at all, but I think the war economy is destroying more and more in terms of the options that homeless people have. Folks talk about affordable housing. Well, you haven't got anything there because all the money is going into these exciting smart bombs and uranium depleted weapons and so forth. So I don't know. I mean, I see that what's on the horizon down here is a march starting in San Diego and moving north. I guess it starts tomorrow. There are people who are going to walk from city hall to city hall, look at the anti-homeless laws in each city, and invite people to join them and walk to Sacramento. Now, this could, when Cesar Chavez did this in 1966 or 67, huge numbers of people joined. They had thousands of people. I mean, we met up with five people, who knows, or three people. It's hard to tell. I mean, I'll be doing some walking some other way, and who knows, maybe you guys can fly on down or drive on down and walk around the Capitol.
Sure, and if you guys will keep on walking until you get up to Salem, Oregon, and help us up here, too.
Yeah, definitely,
We're going to meet you in Salem.
As long as you got peanut butter sandwiches.
And Larry's got peanut butter sandwiches, he says, to help out with. What do we got here? You had some items on the agenda, Patty, that you kind of did some great organizing for this sort of phone conference. I guess we started with Title 14 and the criminalization of the homeless in Portland that's coming down after the homeless won decriminalization of camping, supposedly. Recriminalization is on the agenda and being fought successfully by your alliances, by your speaking out, by simply the common sense you have. Here in Santa Cruz, I was at a Santa Cruz City Council meeting 2 days ago, and I heard merchants calling for recriminalization downtown, talking about, we want new laws that prohibit loitering. We want new laws that criminalize poor people because these young people are spitting on the sidewalks. They're causing trouble and so forth. And I guess you're successful up there. What can we learn from you? How can we help each other? Do you need emails sent to?
Can we come up?
You want us to come up to Portland and camp out there?
Yeah, I still think that there's going to be room for possibly doing a camp out. We're not home free by any means, and we have a very growing organized effort though, and it's really exciting. And so those of us who are numbering, I would say between 60 and 100 possibly, from various organizations, mostly centered in downtown, in Old Town, Chinatown, where you'll find a large number of homeless that are sleeping in doorways and just have no resources, and where you'll find most of our social service agencies to serve them in the soup kitchen. In this vein, I kind of wanted to respond to something that Larry Templeton said earlier about having some frustration at not getting enough homeless people involved in actions when you try things. Please remember that just like in the world at large and in the families and in your companies when you're working, you got your leaders and you got your followers. And as long as the leaders stay enthused, keep the excitement, run on the adrenaline, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but getting burned out and being on overload is the lot of the activist. And, you know, but you got to keep on trucking. And if you're out there like we were over last weekend getting signatures and talking it up and just have fire in your eyes, gradually more and more people are going to come on board. But they're homeless, and remember that those that aren't coming out in the actions with you, they're trying to survive from hour to hour and day to day and involved in being chased around, being jerked around by social service agencies, getting some basic need met, and their health is lousy and their feet hurt, you know, and so whatever you can get, it's going to come from seeing the enthusiasm in you and words of encouragement from you. No criticism toward them.
Right, and that's hard to do sometimes because it can be very frustrating. But, I mean, I know I'm looking here at Tom, and I remember 2 years ago when Tom, who's also been working for a living wage for folks here in Santa Cruz, he was with us when we came to Santa Cruz City Council with sleeping bags and laid them out in front of the City Council, and the City Council didn't call the police. They just shut down the meeting and left, and we invited the living wage people to keep talking, and living wage people were quite cooperative. They wanted to talk, but the mayor, in a grandstanding move, just shut everything down because he wanted to punish us, saying, we'll do no business as long as you know, disrupt our meeting. We weren't disrupting it. We were just lying down on the floor. And we held a meeting for another hour and a half in that room talking about issues around living wage and the sleeping van. And Tom himself has been up to Seattle. He was there in Seattle when there were thousands, tens of thousands of people on the streets. It's out of that kind of energy that you get the enthusiasm and the energy and the endurance to go on and to do the kind, to take the kinds of risks you need to take. And I think it's really hard to do it when you don't have the critical numbers, and you don't get the critical numbers until you get out there to do it. It's kind of chicken and the egg. It's a real, you know, problematic situation. I think that you just got to keep trying different things. This Earth First, with all their unusual tactics, ranging, you know, from tripod sittings to, sit-ins in trees. I mean, we need these kinds of new creative tactics. It may not even involve getting arrested. I mean, we have to, I think, be willing to get arrested. But we have to also recognize they're going to be, getting arrested isn't sort of the be-all and the end-all. I mean, we aren't really trying to challenge, in some cases we're challenging laws, but in other cases we're challenging long-established practices and prejudices about how homeless people are, you know, somehow they have to prove themselves more than people in houses. You know, they have to prove they're drug-free. They can't drink alcohol. Other people, adults, can drink alcohol, but if you're homeless, you're not allowed to drink. You know, I mean, homeless people are held to a standard of behavior that is absurd, considering for the kinds of pressures they're under. That's how I've viewed it. Any comments on any of this?
Yeah, well, that's true, Robert. And, you know, the thing is to be persistent, and the thing is to encourage other people, other homeless people. We started out with sort of like a company of equals, you know. And I think the point is to, you know, now we have a number of leaders of the group, right? And I think that's very good, that we sort of like share the weight out and sort of stand up shoulder to shoulder, you know, not one in back of the other, or one in front or anything like that, but shoulder to shoulder. And I think that's good. I think that spreads the weight, you know, more of what Chris Fredrickson was talking about. You know, you spread it and you kind of avoid burnout, because it seems like it's hard for one person to do everything, but it can't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's everyone's got to take a little piece of it, and then everybody, you know, move together, you know, like kind of move as a crowd, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just want to say to people down there, man, just be persistent. Be persistent. And don't fret about going to the jailhouse, man. It's only another form of housing. It don't last forever. You know, if they want to rehouse you in a jailhouse, oh well. You know, don't threats. Don't worry about that. Don't fear. Don't worry about that kind of stuff, you know, because it's only temporary, you know, then you get out and you come back home to your tent, you know, unless they mash it up, and then you get another one, you know, like whatever, so don't worry about that, you know, it's all good.
And the irony of it is, if you're ready to do that, often, you know, Terry Messman said it at the, and I'm going to play his speech, I guess, when, you know, when we end this, if there's any time at the end of this show. And for those who are listening, you're tuned to 96.3 FM. This is a closed conversation, but you're all invited to listen in out there in Radio Land, and we'll be talking in about 3 days. You'll be able to call in and discuss some of what you heard from 10 to 1:30 on Sunday when we're going to be coming back, and there'll be an open phone line. If you want to leave any comments on what you've heard, you can call 831-423-4833. 831-423-4833. That's the Huff line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And we will broadcast your comments on Sunday. With my apologies that we only have one line in here to the studio for folks to be able to get in on. And as you can hear, we kind of... it's not that the equipment is primitive, it's that the operator is intractably regressed here and isn't quite too good with the equipment. So I'm kind of struggling with it.
Robert, yeah. How about also we're at 90.7 KBOO in Portland because we're being taped and it's going to be broadcast at another time up here. Mm-hmm. And for people that want to comment on our end in the Portland area, they might call Street Roots at 503-228-5657.
Give that number again, could you?
503-228-5657.
Or they might call Dignity at 503-281-1604.
Or they might call the Santa Cruz Service Corps.
831-423-8636.
Yeah, yeah.
Call Adam.
So there are lots of numbers for people to call in, even though you can't call in right now. And you know, it's yeah, you get to call in a little bit later, and you know, who knows what you're going to get. But what we all need, I think, is support. And I think in Santa Cruz, if homeless people want to get together to form a tent city, if they want to get together to demand their civil rights, if they're tired of having police harass them for holding up a sign that says "Spare Change," for doing things that they need to do to survive, give a call to Huff. 423-4833, 423-HUFF. It's an organization that we can't do it really for you, but we can try to help you get together with other people who might want to do it with you. And that's really what it is. It's not individual struggles alone. We're weak, and we are, you know, we can be courageous, and we will be, and we have to be alone. But together, we can overcome it. That I think, is the lesson. So, I guess there are organizations up in Portland that people should call if their civil rights are being violated more broadly. Any suggestions there?
I can volunteer to take some calls and refer people out. You can reach me at the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office. My name is Adam Arms, 503-225-9100.
How about Mark? can we share this with Mark Jolin?
Mark Jolin, great attorney up here. He's a civil rights homeless advocate lawyer, and I do not have his phone
number. Law Center.
I've got his number, but I'm not giving it out on the air.
Right.
Hey!
Karen Gilmore is very good. And,
I remember her.
Ed Johnson, man. There's some great ones up here. There's some really good lawyers up here. You know, much respect to the legal crew around here, you know. They're out there, they're kicking butt.
Adam, give your number again, because you're for the folks out there.
That's Metropolitan Public Defender, 503-225-9100. And you're going to have to ask for me, because otherwise you're going to be rerouted to space or somewhere.
And you are in fact the notorious and one and only Adam Arms, right?
Right, and I'm not wearing a robe, as I assume you are.
No, well, indeed, Bathrobes Pierre is without a bathrobe at the moment. But
he made us all wear blindfolds.
Yeah, but we did force all the people to wear blindfolds to get to Free Radio Santa Cruz, where we have our secret location, which only the devil knows. Wow, it's really been good having you on the air. Are there some concluding comments people want to make before we sign off, or I should say get it back to what we're doing, which is pretty much what we've been talking about for the last hour and a half?
Yes, there is, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to emphasize two things. The way that we're spearheading or brainstorming with defeating the bad parts of Title 14 is that not to just protest the language or protest against an ordinance, get to the table with your city officials and replace that language, offer a replacement language, get a lawyer to help you formulate the proper wording in it, you know, and that's what we're doing by Friday for the city attorney next, and put some people in local office that are more supportive of you, start getting some Green Party people and others in office and replace some of those, you know, commissioners. Okay.
Here, here. That's right. Keep networking. Pirate radio. Like it. You have to make the conditions if you want the people to buy into it. You have to make the conditions at your camp or whatever you're setting up better than where they're at. So you have to remember that too. If people don't want to come to your place.
Free beer?
If that's what it takes.
Tom, any thoughts?
I'm really excited about coming up with some, you know, sort of standard thing that we all do as separate communities, all put forth in our communities or at the state level, you know, seeing how we can really, you know, make this look like some big strategy that we're all coming together with. Just some food for thought for now and see if we can come up with something.
Yeah, it's in the linkage, Doc.
How about you, Mr. Go ahead. You were saying?
I say it's in the linkage. It's in the hookup. It's how we connect and how we pull it all together, up and down the coast and further.
Dig it. Larry Templeton, any thoughts?
Well, all I can say is if we all bind together like we did right here at the summit, if we can get more people together, we can rock this world. That's what I've always said, and that's what I'm always going to stand by. If we can get all these people together, I mean, it's going to change your eyes because this city ain't big enough and none of the other cities are. If they get all the homeless people together in that one little city, that city council is going to run like a bunch of pups in heat. So, here you are.
You've said nothing. Any comments? We have a strong, silent member in the studio, and Chris.
A good Templetonism. Pups in heat.
You should have grabbed that phone quick.
The summit was great. I hope we can do more of it. And I look forward to mounting a fight on all levels. And I'm going to be looking with particular interest, I hope we all are, at your defeating the Title 14. That's what I couldn't think of. Good luck with that. And I look forward to speaking with some of you soon and again. Good luck.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
All of you guys for even being here.
Yeah, nice talking to you guys, man. Much love and respect to all the crew down there.
Keep up the fight.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe we can do this again.
Love to.
All right, well, email is rnorris@hotmail.com for those who are in the Portland area who want to get in touch with the host of this show, rnorris@hotmail.com. You got an email up there for those who are listening here in Santa Cruz who want to get in touch with Portland?
TentCityPDX is a pretty good one, TentCityPDX@yahoo.com, or you can just come through our website, which is dignityvillage.org, and it shoots out to a bunch of people from there. It's called the Dignity Bounce.
And you just give a call to HUF, 423-4833, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, if you miss any of these phone numbers or websites.
831.
And the area code is 831-423-4833, and we will, you know, give you that information. Thank you very much, Patty, for all your work in organizing this.
And again, without you, Robert.
Hey, you were the essential element. All of us, of course, but thanks. And get back to you another time.
Hey, good night, and God bless.
All right.
Yeah, guys.
Hey,
good night.
Take care, guys. Bye. Love you.
Adios.
So, well, here we are back in the studio. We're live in case anybody wants to call in and comment. You have 9 minutes before the show ends. people can all go out on the porch and smoke, or you know, hit the road and get away while they, you know, if they want it, whatever feel like people feel like they're going to do. I think what I'm going to do here is there are not a lot of announcements to be made. Tomorrow is Peace Friday for those who want to oppose Bush's terrorist war and his new effort, his continued repressive effort in the locally and abroad. And that's happening at Water and Ocean Streets at 5 o'clock. There's a good, interesting report on Amy and Cassandra, the bedsheet bandistas who are fighting to have the right to put up alternate messages about, like, peace, you know, that sort of thing, about not giving away all your power to George Bush so he can do more military operations abroad. With all those flags hanging all over as Republican Party advertisements, some folks have said, not in our name, and they've done a federal lawsuit and are fighting that. And there's a kind of a report on that in the Good Times for those who want to look at the latest issue of Good Times. There's also my ongoing lawsuit to make sure the city council, called the Heil-Krone lawsuit, the city council actually starts obeying the law and the Constitution about letting people speak. We actually have a phone call coming in here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert.
Oh.
This is Wiley.
Hey, Wiley Drake.
How are you?
I'm good. Should introduce you. You're that madman from Southern California who's going to be one of the first stops for these San Diego sleepwalk serenaders as they wander north trying to get homeless people in every city to say no to laws that criminalize homeless people.
Well, we're gonna welcome the walkers in, and we're gonna feed them the great food that the homeless people of Buena Park get to eat, and we always get to eat well, so we'll feed them well when they come through. But we're gonna also go over our shelter is only a few blocks away from beautiful downtown Buena Park's City Hall, where the gentleman known as Catman. The Catman attorney, I saw him in court today, as a matter of fact, and so we'll have an opportunity to go there and protest a little bit in front of the city hall and let them know that we're taking a stand for homeless people as well as other things.
Well, Wiley, we should say that you are a man who you've been on the air before. What you've done is you have put up homeless people in your church, and you continue to put them up, even though you've been arrested for it, you've been enjoined against it in some respects, you've lost court cases. You continue to say, no thank you, we're going to continue to respect both the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and I assume the Holy Bible, because you are a man of the cloth, right?
Well, that's true, and we believe that our Constitution had a scriptural basis, because setting off there in that little boat before they ever came ashore, the Mayflower Compact, it was indeed the first piece of paper that was written, even before the Constitution and the Declaration and so forth. And so we believe that, but we also believe that we are a religiously free country, and that our Constitution is important, and that we demand our constitutional rights as well. And so we are fighting, and we're continuing to fight.
And you actually been getting harassment from police because of the people you put up in the church, and also the fact that you are known as a person who, unlike other even so-called social service agencies in Buena Park, you actually provide places for homeless people to sleep, which I guess they think simply just encourages more of those dirty bums to come to town, or...
Well, they say we're a magnet, and of course they said that early on, way back, the city spent more than $40,000 on a research contract for a company that came in and said there were only 11 people that were homeless in Buena Park, and at that night we had 25 or 30 sleeping in our church. And so, you know, the consultants just didn't consult anybody that wanted the right answers. And so we continue to fight. We just recently, we get harassed from time to time. They found out that they can't get us shut down because the public will raise an outcry. And even some political figures, you know, we've had other mayors and other people in other cities say, well, okay, fine, you want Wiley and his church to shut down. Where are you going to put those people? And they don't have an answer for that. And so that's why they harass us to try to keep us in our place.
One question we've had up here, Wiley, is a question of coalitions. Are there other groups in Buena Park who are willing to stand with you, or have you been pretty much engaging in a lone struggle?
Well, the answer to that is yes and no. Yes, we get people that want to stand with us, but it's been more individuals and churches, but it's a short-lived situation in most cases, simply because, in our own church, early on, our people, and by people, I mean our church people, said we'll stand no matter what. And then when the city started bringing charges and threatening jail, then some of them turned tail and ran. And so we found the same thing. We do have some coalition with groups like an organization called Set Free. They are primarily a religious group, but when it comes down to it, they're really ready to go. They're bikers for Christ. And they've always supported us. In fact, the matter is, they supported us many years. And then about a year and a half ago, they basically moved into our church. So they're using our facility. So that's why I said the answer is yes and no. Yes, we've had some coalitions with people like Set Free and with other churches and with other groups that are helping the homeless. But in many cases, it's been sort of short-lived.
And you are, of course, down in the Los Angeles area, one of the strongest fighters for civil rights of homeless people. And yet, from the point of view of many people in Santa Cruz, you would be the devil himself. You oppose what we call the right to choose. You're against rights for gay partners. You are very conservative Republican in your perspective. Yet on the issue of homeless people, you and I stand together. There's no question about it. I'd like to talk to you more, Wiley. We got 2 minutes, though, before the show ends, and okay. the next man is setting up here from the cream to the dregs, the infamous Uncle Dennis. So I wonder if you can call back on Sunday if you have any time.
What's a good time on Sunday?
Any time between 10 and 1:30, which is when our show resumes.
All right,
on Sunday.
We'll talk to you on Sunday then.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Talk to you, Wiley.
And that's about it for Bathrobs Piers Broadsides this time. We're going to go out on a little bit of Jess Kitten. I've been monopolizing their songs, or actually seizing their tape. We're going to do a little bit of Spare Change. And want more information on Huff? You give a call to Huff, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Or join us again on Sunday, as you know, 10 to 1:30 here at 96.3 FM. We'll have some more Civil Rights on the Streets.